Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters from around the world. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Everybody's entering into the holiday season, getting excited about the possibilities and families coming together and sharing what they feel is love. And, you know, sometimes families don't get together until Christmas or Mother's Day or Easter. That's just when, you know, they have time to have an extra holiday and they take that to share with their family. I think it's a wonderful thing. We don't always have flexible schedules, and so we can't hold anybody hostage because they can't come as often as we think that they should. But with modern technology today, there's no reason that we should be disconnected. And you can just get on your computer, you can get on your phone and FaceTime and look at the person and talk to the person and see that they're breathing and they're alive. And, you know, God just blessed us with so many gifts in the field of technology. So there's no reason for a mother or daughter to say, I haven't seen my mother, I haven't talked to my mother, except the fact that you don't want to. Because there is no way most human beings that are walking on the earth now, even the little young ones, I see them 3 and 4 years old, and they have a cell phone. Can you believe it? And they know how to use it. Or they have an iPad, like my great-grandson, 18 months old. He can flip that iPad quicker than I can. Because what? They have no fear. They adapt to things quickly. And so he wants to see, like he likes to go look at the RV. He just flipped. He got a little section. He knows exactly where to go get it and show you RV. He's consumed with the RV thing now. So I'm saying all that to say that there's no reason that we should disconnect. And there's no reason that we should just use holiday as an excuse to get together. It's something that we should make plans to do, even if we have to just put everybody on a screen and have dinner and everybody's sitting there. The ones that can come, come, but the ones that cannot can just join in from wherever they are. That's the new technology. We're soon going to get to the point where it's going to be beam me up, Scotty, and boom, you can just beam somebody in. I mean, technology is on hot, as they could say. All right, let me go to the switchboard here. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. I'm fine. Good morning. Good morning, audience. How are you guys? Everything is okay.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good report. Everything is okay.
Yes, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited about Christmas, as you said. No, it's my favorite time of year because people are a little bit nicer this time of year, those who desire to walk in the Spirit of God. So all is well. I'm excited because I'm going to South Florida to see my two sons and their family. So I'm excited. And now see my distant family, too, my siblings and whatnot. So I'm excited.
I know you are. What the audience don't know is that you were there all your life and then you moved away about a year or so ago. And
I know.
You can, it's a difference, isn't it, when you're not really right there with your family.
Oh,
people don't realize how,
yes.
They don't know how valuable that is until they get away from the family. Then you look back at it and say, wow, I used to just get in my car and run around to my sister's in about 2 or 3 minutes.
And you know what? Even when
hours.
I was there, and even when I was there, we didn't see each other. Maybe at an event, we didn't see each other often, and we were all within less than 10, 15 minutes away. Shame
mm-hmm.
on us. But
mm-hmm.
it is it's whatever you're accustomed to, and if you don't do it, and if you're not in the practice of doing it, you just don't do it. And I want to say I miss them, but you know what? It was the same when I was there. I did not see them. So I called. I think but we talk a little bit more now than we did when I was there, though. So
mm-hmm.
if there has to be a positive, that's it.
Well, you know, most of the time, a lot of times people run around with the family life and they're so busy, and they can't go see each other. But the minute someone calls and says this person has just made the transition, everybody comes. They come running by the groves, you know what I mean? Like, really? You couldn't even come when they was breathing and living. But now all of a sudden she's gone and you can't talk to her. You come running up. For what? What you going to say? What you going to do?
I know.
Time's up.
I know. Yeah. But
time's
thank
up.
God I'm not like that. I don't do knee-jerk reactions. If I ain't seen you in 30 years, I sure ain't going to be running up and trying to look in your face when you're laying in a casket. I'm good. I give my thoughts and prayers to the family and keep it moving.
Yeah,
that's just
it's
who
it's
I
amazing.
Am, audience.
All right, then. Well, let's give.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Can I get you to do the prayer? And then I'll come back in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dear Father, we come thanking you, God, for it is December 21st. We know somewhere in time, around this time, Jesus was coming through as man came through a mother. And so, Father God, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you that you allowed him to come through a human being down here on earth to show us the way. And he is the absolute perfect example of humanity, and he's the perfect example of God. And so, Father God, we had man and God in one human being, and he came to be the way, to show us the way, to be the light and the life of the Father and man, and to show us how to do this thing called life. Life is not easy. God never said it would be easy, but he came to demonstrate that it can be done, and it can be done without all the flaws of humanity. And so, Father God, we thank you that we are here, those who are still on this side of heaven, to celebrate yet another year of Jesus and his birthday. So, audience, I declare and I challenge you to make it about Jesus. Make this holiday season about the reason for the season is to honor him as Lord and Savior. And so, Father God, with that, we say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the year and our prayer, Father God, that every mother and daughter and their family members will move towards him like never before. We pray, Father God, that they will call on the name of Jesus, that they will teach to children and children's children the importance of this holiday season, and for no other reason but to honor our Lord and Savior. And with that, Father God, we thank you for the call that you put on the life of Dr. Fletcher and her due diligence. And I thank you, Father God, that you've called me to come alongside her, to be her partner in Christ. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you for Deborah, Father God, for she too has come along and just got in where she fit in. And so what a fit she is. And we thank you, Father God, for all of the wisdom and knowledge that you give her, that you give Dr. Fletcher, that you give myself to share with the audience, knowing that it's not about us, but it's about what you would have us to say in order that somebody's life is changed forever. And so we thank you for this holiday season. We thank you for your mercies. And as close as we is, Father God, to December 25th, we don't know who's going to make it to see it. And so, Father God, we thank you for your mercies. We pray, Father God, that people will journey and move towards you like never before this holiday season. Let them be a little nicer. Let them walk in the spirit of Christ. And so, God, with that, we say amen and amen.
All right. Well, we can just go on off the show now. That's everything.
All right now. Okay.
We can just go say, we'll see you next week, audience. You have a good Christmas. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Deborah texted me and said she wasn't feeling well this morning, so she's not on with us. You know, God be the glory. Yeah, we pray that all is well
Amen.
With her. Yes,
Amen.
This morning we are talking. This is the season now when, you know, people really try to make up. You know, we're gonna do some bare truths this morning. People try to make up for maybe some of the wrong they've done simply by buying that gift that they think will be the gift of forgiveness. I can make up by getting them something nice for Christmas, or I can buy them something even though I don't like them. I'm going to do it anyway just to so people won't think that I'm being mean to them and whatever. You know, people got all kind of excuses about the gift. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And Cynthia, I'll be right back and pick you up and get your comments, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, audience, we're going to go to the topic this morning. It is amazing. I love it. I always like to give the Holy Spirit credit because, you know, I don't come up with these topics or concepts or whatever it is. I just get up and say, Holy Spirit, you know, I release myself to you. You know, what do you want to talk about today? You know, and I just wait on it. And somewhere along the line, sometimes I get up and start fixing my coffee and my toast in the morning, and I'm just moving around doing whatever I do, and I'm waiting on it. And then all of a sudden, he'll speak. And when he speaks, I said, okay, let me run and get to the computer. A lot of times, it seems like it's a long time before I get what I need, but I know it's coming. I'm waiting on it. So I'll go, and then I'll be honest. Sometimes I get a little like, what? It's getting close. It's 9:30, you know. So let me just set up the switchboard. I'll set the switchboard up, have everything there but the title. No, I'm still waiting on it because I know he's going to show up. Anytime you release yourself to the Holy Spirit, you have given him permission to use your body for his gain. He's showing up now. That you can depend on. He's showing up. So you got to know him. And he's going to show up because you're a child of God. You know, you have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus introduced you to the Father. He presents you as righteous before the Father through him. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which most people say the Holy Spirit. And then you start building that relationship and you start talking to the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, which now lives in you. He says, when you come and you knock and receive me, then we come and we abode in you. That means that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit going to live within you. So now you're a new creature. You're operating differently. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, I don't care what it is, he's going to do it. He cannot say no. It's not even in his vocabulary to think no. There's no judgment in him. So when I say, you know, Holy Spirit, I release myself to you. Whatever you want to talk about, just let me know. I just wait on it now. And I'm so cool with it now. I go on to do everything I want. Sometimes I don't even turn up the switchboard until he says it, you know, because regardless of what, all I got to do is just get it on, make the phone call, connect. If I don't send out anything, because I know he's going to speak, so I don't have to worry about it. He said, you know, you will have it within the hour. Now, that's a promise. You don't have to worry. when he sends you out to speak, he said, don't worry about what you're going to say, because you will have it within the hour. So I know within the hour it's going to happen. And sometimes it's quarter to the hour, but it's going to happen. And if you know it's going to happen, then you go ahead and prepare and be ready. So when I wait, and it's a quarter till 10, and he pops that question in my head on a topic, I can just plug it in because everything else is ready. And when I put that topic in there, I can push the button, submit, boom, and it's ready. I don't have to write anything, and then he'll start talking to me. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because the topic that we're going to talk about today, you need to know how this works. How do I get this to function in my life? Now you know. You receive Jesus Christ, a very simple technique. You just ask Jesus to come and live in your heart. But you got to give up something. And you tell him, I repent from my old ways. I'm going to change. I'm not going to do things that I used to do. Because you know when you're doing wrong. You know when you're doing wrong. It's just in you because you're working against the will of God. So it's a tug. It's a pull on your spirit. To do wrong is a lot of hard work. You got to work at doing wrong. You run around cheating, scheming. You can't rest at night. And you're pulling and tugging and you're trying to duck and dodge. I remember my pastor was teaching on cheating. And he said, man, when you're trying to have an external relationship, you know, an affair with somebody and you're married, man, that's so much work. Because you're always ducking and dodging, trying to see. You're not peaceful nowhere you go. You're looking to see if you're out to dinner somewhere, no matter where you go in the remote place. You think, well, we'll just fly to the desert and we'll have a place that nobody won't know who we are and we can hide and duck and dodge, you know. But when that door opens and you're sitting in that restaurant, your immediate response is to look to see who's coming through the door. Because you know you're cheating. You know you're out of order. Everywhere you go, you're watching, you're looking, you're ducking, you're dodging, and don't, you know, like you said, he's a man, that's just too much work. Who wants to do all of that? It's a lot, but what? 60 seconds of some pleasure? Really? But hey, it happens. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then Jesus presents you before the Father, the angels are rejoicing. Just imagine they're having a party because you came back home. So everybody in heaven just having a party. You don't even know what a party like until you probably seen an angel party. You think you're dropping it like it's hot down here on earth. You ain't seen nothing until you seen an angel party. I'm just imagining this. From what he said, they all rejoice. And they're singing. Wow, they're celebrating because you decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They know, okay, she's done put the key in the door, she done turned the lock, and the door is open. And then Jesus presents you, Father, I present to you your daughter, and call your name. And your name is on the record book. Just imagine you're in. Now that you're in, you got to grow. You got to know what it means. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wait on it. You wait on it. Just like the children that was in the upper room, all the apostles, he told them, he said, I'm going to leave, but I want you to wait. You go to Jerusalem, and you stay in the upper room, and you wait. And they dare not leave. They stayed there. It was about 170-some people from what their account was, I think, if my memory serves me right. And they sat there for days, not knowing when it was going to happen, But they were told to go and sit and wait. Wait on it. And all of a sudden, one day, out of the blue, the wind stirred up. They had no earthly idea what it was. They just knew. I can only imagine that they thought, wow, that's a strong wind. It's blowing in the curtains and the windows and, you know, knocking things off the table. My God, close the windows. It was the Holy Spirit coming in, and it just went through each and every one of them, and all of a sudden they was hit with this gift of the Holy Spirit. And they was rejoicing, and they knew this is what he said. It would come. It's your comforter. He knows all things. He will lead you where you need to go. You will be guided by the Spirit. And they were so excited, they started speaking in different tongues. In tongues that each of them knew nothing about, couldn't communicate with each other, because they were communicating directly with God. And as individual as we are, our Holy Ghost language is individual. And that's what I tell people. Until you have the gift of tongues, you're not really talking directly to God. You're actually always in your English language or native language, you're talking to Jesus, which is good. Can't get no better than that except talking directly to God. But the Holy Spirit, you talk directly to God. Isn't that amazing? You get to talk directly to God, and you don't even know what you're saying to God. It's like a baby babbling. You know, you just, but God knows. God knows. It's like with my great grandson, kind of look at him, and he's talking when he was a baby, and I would say to him, who are you talking to? You talking to God? And he would look at me, because I knew. He knew. See, babies still have their heavenly language. We don't know what they're talking about, but they hold on to that heavenly language for a long time. Sometimes they're about 1 or 2 years old, or two, before they start really relinquishing that heavenly voice and not fully adapt or conform to an earthly language, because they're still communicating through that voice. He would say, well, I just don't know, they need to talk, or, you know, that what are they saying? Oh, they said what they said when it was in heaven. They came directly from the Father. And they don't want to disconnect. And he said, unless you be like a child. And being like a child, you got to be able to submit unknowingly what you're saying. But see, God knows, and the Holy Spirit knows. And you're saying, the Holy Spirit is saying through you to the Father the things that you need to say instead of all this stuff that we be begging for, crying and moaning and groaning and acting a nut about in that human body instead of working through your spirit. But anyway, with that being said, that's who we are as a spirit in a human body. So our topic this morning is mothers, give the gift, give the ultimate gift to your daughters. That's our topic. Mothers, give the ultimate gift to your daughters. And when we think about the ultimate gift, that should bring something up into your mind's eye, because everybody has their own interpretation, a perception of the word ultimate. The dictionary has its interpretation, and it can be broken down in many different ways as the mind defines it according to the experiences and the knowledge of the person that is thinking about the word ultimate. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of renewing your mother and daughter relationship. I'm not going to go back into that. I'm going to keep going with what we have. Mothers, give the ultimate gift to your daughter, our daughters. Now, my question is, can a mother buy the ultimate gift for her daughter? You know, when we hear the word ultimate, like I say, people think of it, and they may think of it in different ways. You know, think of the first thing that came to your mind when you heard us, when I said ultimate gift. You know, something popped into your mind. Hold on to that for a moment. What does that mean to you? Because the word ultimate sends a strong message of being an essential, a supreme, extreme, the greatest, or the best gift of all gifts. So you're like, I'm going to get the best gift. You know, sometimes you get into a competition this time of year. Last year, her mother-in-law gave her this, but she won't outdo me this year. She ain't buying my daughter something better than me. I'm going to get the ultimate gift. I'm going to outdo everybody. If I have to go to the loan company and borrow some money, they're not going to outdo me. That's my daughter. You see? Ultimate means different things to different people. So you get into a competition. People do that. I see that among families. They get upset because somebody bought someone else something that they thought was better than what they gave them. Measuring the gifts, the value of the gifts. Well, how much did they pay for the gift? And I've even seen families go in and say, okay, we're going to put $20 in each gift. So everybody's going to spend $20 on the gift. And whoever name you pull, you can't spend less than 20, but you can go over 20, but you can't spend less than 20. And then someone come in with something that they bought at the dollar store. And people say, now that is not $20. Then that just brings a ripple effect because everybody's talking about it. She didn't spend 20. That's not $20. You know, and the other one spent $200 on something to try to show off on the ones that don't. And it's just become a constant struggle. And the whole family atmosphere, because they missed the mark. It's not about the gifts that you can buy from the store. Those are things that will rot. Someone can steal it. You can lose it. You can drop it. You can break it. It can stop working. It becomes useless. And that can happen within the hour. You know, this is a time of year when mothers and daughters are trying to find that perfect gift for each other. Well, guess what? I have some good news for you. There's only one perfect gift. To the gift that will give the pleasure, that's what they're looking for, the pleasure that they can see in the person's eyes, because that's the only way you know that they enjoy it is when you see them go, oh, my gosh, look at this. Excuse me. Look at this. Oh, I always wanted one of these. How did you know? When they done told 10 people to make sure that you knew that that's what they wanted, or they wrote it down, or they hit so many times, started in June. That's what they wanted for Christmas, especially when it's a young lady thinking it's time for her to get married, start hinting around about June, that she wants a diamond ring and telling all his best friends to tell him. So that message, you see how deceiving this thing is? Is that joy? Can you get joy from something that you have set up from deception? That you planted little seeds in someone's mind? Is that real joy? Are you really surprised? Can you see the joy in the person's eyes? Or are they faking it? You don't want to start off with that kind of relationship. You don't want to be in that kind of relationship, mothers and daughters, if you can't be honest. Just, if you want something, just say. Make a Christmas list, if that's it. But don't be deceitful about it. Like I told my daughter, you have not given me your list. She usually put a list down and she gives us something that she needs. Another one thing she said, don't buy me no clothes this year. I got enough clothes. I don't want no clothes. Don't buy me any clothes. Well, I know I won't be buying her any clothes. So listen to what you hear the person say during the year that they're in need of. And then you will give them something that they really need and could use. That brings a certain amount of joy. But is that the ultimate gift? Can you buy the ultimate gift? No, you can't. Let's just make it very simple. You cannot buy the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift, that's the gift, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate gift. You can't buy that. You can't. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough property. You don't have enough gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, pearls, emeralds to buy the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a free gift, and you can only get it through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is a biblical term that sums up 9 attributes of a person or community living in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And community living means the people that's in your community, not the street, the people that live in your community in which you move around in, your job, your church, your neighbors, people that you pass on the street. So you have a community that is made up of you and the people that you run into. Those are the people that is a part of your community. And so if you have the fruit of the Spirit, they are going to be able to be affected by that. But the fruit of the Spirit, you cannot buy. You cannot buy. You have to go through Jesus. You have to receive Jesus Christ in order for him to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't just skip self. And I used to hear people a long time ago when I was little, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm on my way to heaven. And as I got older and I started understanding what is the Holy Ghost, what is, some people call it the Holy Spirit, what is it? Ask yourself, do you know what the Holy Spirit is? It is the Spirit of the living God. It is a gift only Jesus can give to you because God gave it to Jesus. When that dove image descended from heaven into Christ, he became a different person at the baptism of John. So when he received that, he became a different person. Now he and God became one because the Holy Spirit of God entered into his body. And he gave it to him. And because you believe and you receive Jesus, Jesus loved you so much, he gave you the same spirit if you ask for it. See, he's not going to just pop on up in you like you just think, you know, well, I get Jesus, I get the Mm-mm. You got to ask for it. Father, please give me the spirit of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, now you have the gift of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And why are they called the fruits? Because they're forever blooming, growing. You'll never dry up. It's like an apple tree that's totally full all the time, in full bloom, always got apples on it. It's always the best apples of any apple tree you ever seen. You can always pluck one off. It's just as sweet as it was the first time you took one off. every time. It can be 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years down the road. That tree will still produce that same apple, and it will not change in taste. It's unchangeable. It's the same all the time. So when you're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the first one, I always say, if you get the first fruit, it just automatically produces the other eight. You can't have the other eight without the first fruit. And the first fruit is love. Once you get the fruit of love, and you really, really receive love into your heart, that's when you are renewed. That's when you are a different person. Yes, when you are reborn. You're not reborn with that same old heart. See, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're only saying, Lord, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to take control of my life. Lord, that's what it means. You take control of my life. Then you repent. I repent. I'm not going to do the same things I used to do. Okay. Then he forgives you for your past sins. You're in a position now. But until you receive the love of Christ, then you're not renewed. Because there's a lot of people that have received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And they have not, they repented for what they have done in the past, but they still haven't changed. They're still doing some of the same things. But once you receive the love of Christ, you cannot do the same thing. I'm a witness of that. You cannot do the same crazy, they say jacked up stuff that you used to do. The love of Christ, it erases those thoughts. You know, I remember somebody did something to me, and I was a Christian since I was 18. I've been talking to God since I was 5. But I remember the time, I don't bother anybody. But if you did something to me, I would sit down and plot and think about what I was going to do, how I was going to tell you what I need to tell you. I had no problems with running my mouth and telling you exactly what I thought. Not proud of that, but I'm being honest. But once I really got to the point where I just submitted everything to God, like, you know what, Lord? I'm tired. I mean, what are you going to do? And I received the love of Christ in my heart. It changed me. I didn't curse anymore. I didn't jump on people, just, you know, sit down and plot and think about what I was going to say to people. Now, this ain't happened overnight. This is a process, and I'm still in the process. Don't get me wrong. But as they could say, I used to have a cursed ministry. It was nothing for me to just say something and use a curse word. But I guarantee you, the love of Christ monitored my mouth. Every once in a while, the devil tried to say something, and it's only when somebody pushing on you, you know, and you feel that person slip out of your mouth, you know that's not you. But see, that's why Christ is there, because he knows the intent of your heart. But if you're still looking out a curse and you're still doing this and doing that, then you ask yourself, do I really have the fullness of the love of Christ? I need some more love in me. Because you got to see a change. And once you get that love face, then it brings joy, the second fruit of the flame, fruit of the Spirit. Because you can't have joy and don't have love. See, I'm talking about the fullness, because now you're growing in Christ. You're growing in the Holy Spirit. And you notice I say growing, not already grown and finished and done, well, when that happens, you should be standing before him. And then once you get the joy in your heart from the love, then you receive a peace. And peace with God, I'm telling you, things can be happening wild and crazy all around you. No matter what it is, you still have a peace. Sometimes I would say, now I'm just like so peaceful, whatever. Because God's got it. I'm in his plan. I can't change it. He's already designed it. You have to get your mind on that, and that'll find your peace. Because no matter what you think you're thinking of, no matter what you think you want God to do, he's going to work within his plan. You're not going to change his plan. You need to just get on board. Set yourself down, relax, and have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Jesus tells us, have faith in God. Just trust him. He made you. He made you with a purpose. Trust him. And then that brings you peace. That peace brings you patience. Because people that are impatient are people that are not in peace. Because if you're in peace, you're a lot more patient than you are when you're not. And then once you have that patience, then you're a little bit more kinder. You're kinder to people. You think about things before you say it. See, everything builds upon the other. This is not an accident, these nine things that God gave us. This is not just something that just thrown out there without some thought. It's a stair step. And then once you get patience, and I said you get, then you're kind to people. And then you want to be good. You want to give. You know, you feel like I have more than I can use of this. Let me do this. Let me give this, some of this to someone else. Let me go see if I can help this person. You should always have a service that you give to someone else and expect no money from it. I expect nobody to do something for me. No debt comes with it. That's your goodness. But if you're doing something and you figure you're going to hold that card for a later day, well, look, I did this for you 10 years ago. Now I'm hurting and I'm in a position and you owe me. Then you really didn't give it as a goodness from your heart. You didn't give it out of love. You gave it with the intent that one day I can hold this person hostage. So when you get some goodness, then once you get the goodness in your heart, then you can forgive people. You can, but you can't forgive people if you have a hard heart, because you can't forgive yourself. And then when you don't forgive yourself, you're certainly not going to forgive somebody else. And if you can't forgive somebody else, how can you be faithful to God? How can you be faithful under the name of Jesus Christ? How can you be honest with Christ? Because he was the one that forgave. There's no one that asked for forgiveness that he didn't give it to them. How can you be a Christian? How can you be living in love and peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, and can't be faithful to the Lord and Savior? And can't be forgiving to your brethren. And then with all of that, it gives you a gentleness to humanity, a gentleness to the person that you are around. Because you have to think, everybody's going through something. And if you're not gentle, you can hurt the person more than you can help them by trying to push them beyond where they are. We always have to be gentle with a person because we don't know the mental capacity of that person. So when you push and push and push and push and push, you know, then you push a person over the edge. Then you're just as guilty for that person's demise as that person is. Because if you work out of love, keep in mind everything starts with love. Gentleness is to help them, to be gentle and to listen and to try to figure out if there's anything that you can say. And if you don't know what to say, just pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. And the last one is self-control. And you cannot control this body. You cannot control yourself if you're not living out of love. Because if you're not living out of love and you're trying to control yourself, you're going to be unhappy. There's no joy. You're going to always be upset, worried, because you don't have any peace. You want it right now. I don't have time to wait, God. What's wrong with you? When you're coming, you said this and you're quoting scripture to God. Scripture that he wrote, he already know. Don't have to remind him. But we do that. And then what? Have no patience. Then you're not kind to people because you're aggravated. There's no kindness. And I ain't giving nobody nothing. You don't want to be good because you know what? I'm not the goodness of your heart. I'm not, because there's only one good person, and that's God. But there's a goodness of your heart that imitates the good. I'm not trying to be good to nobody. I'm trying to be faithful. But where is God? You know, I've been waiting and waiting. It's 10 years. I'm still waiting. Where is God? How am I going to be faithful? There's that doubt. Gentleness. Ain't nobody gentle to me. I have to catch a rough road. All my life I've lived on the rough side of the mountain. Nobody was good to me. And then you're out of control. Out of control. But if you get back to the beginning and you say, let me just ask for the gift, the spiritual gift of love, and you receive the spiritual gift of love, it will blanket your heart. It will soften your heart. It will soothe your soul, and then you are renewed. And the enemy can't, he cannot get you to react. He cannot get you out of self-control. He will try to tempt you, just as he did with Jesus. But you can say the same thing. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. That's who you quote the scripture to. God gave you scripture to quote to the devil. He didn't give you scripture to quote to him. He knows the word. He wrote the word. He gave it to you as a weapon to use against Satan. So when Satan comes to you, what did God say? You tell him, it is written. Jesus became poor so that I can become rich. Get thee behind me. And get your hands off of my money. So you got to use what God said. Use the weapon. You're already rich. Have faith. Believe that. Now ask yourself, where can I buy these gifts? And you should have the answer. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. All you got to do is receive it. Through Jesus Christ. All right, Cynthia, what is your take on that?
Well, you can't buy because it's free, period. You can't buy Christ, the gift of Christ, for, number one, because it's free. But a mother can do the very thing that God tells us to do as it relates to giving the ultimate gift. She herself can introduce Christ to her children. Then she can operate her own life as a demonstration of Christ. And that is, and number three, the gift of Christ holds its value for all eternity. Anything else she gives them, it loses value. That's the only thing that will not lose value, the gift of Christ. And she simply has to do two things, introduce them live it, and let them make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
But the third thing is most important. It never loses its value. Gift cards, you put them away, you forget about them. It starts to lose the value until because if you keep it for over years, they start to take monies off it. Before you know it, there's zero balance. Christ is the only gift that never loses value. And Mother, you have, and you've been charged to introduce Christ to your children, just like God introduced them to us. He offered him to us. He continues to offer him to us like a great father. We have what it takes as mothers to give the ultimate gift, because we have the Spirit of Christ living in us if we have accepted Christ. And then we got to walk it out. And then we got to always know, once our children are saved, God did say that our household is saved if we're saved. But as they become men and daughters, or getting older, past 12, then they have to accept Christ for themselves. We introduce them, we walk it out, and next thing you know, you got men and daughters of Christ, and it never loses its value. And therefore, Mother, you have given the ultimate gift. That's my thought on it. Thank you for allowing me to share. It is so interesting, Dr. Fletcher, that the perspective that you gave the audience something to really think about with regards to how do you get this gift?
Mm-hmm.
And it's through Christ, who is love. He is, I've been studying Christ, for a minute now, with regards to how it works. And you started the show off talking about how it works. And all you have to do is just go to the Word and see how it works, mothers, so you can plant that seed within your. And I have done this as long as I can remember. My children couldn't open a gift until they heard the story of Christ is born, and so they grew up knowing that this is first. Everything else that's under this tree is second to the story. And that was me introducing Christ to my children at a very early age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Showing them what the season is about.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And now you have grown men that understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
And they're not, you know, they got that tradition. They got it now, and they'll pass it on to their children. And it'll just go on and on. And that's how we grow up a whole new generation for Christ.
Absolutely. Because every generation needs a Redeemer. Every generation mm-hmm. needs a Savior to lift them out of sin into righteousness of God. Jesus is one gift that will never lose its worth or its value.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else
mm-hmm.
will crumble. They will throw it in the corner because they don't even care about this stuff past a hot second. They don't
mm-hmm.
even care about it. You know?
Yeah,
awesome.
I stopped buying a lot of gifts. I remember when I was younger, you know, tradition, just used to doing it. We bought for all the cousins and their children, and, you know, and then when I left young, married, trying to figure out how to keep going, you know, had something for everybody. My cousin, he every year seemed like he had another baby. And finally I said to myself, mm-hmm. you know what? And I think what really got to me during the year when I'd come home and I'd see them with the clothes on that I bought, and I could tell they didn't take care of those clothes. You know, they just was terrible looking. And I
mm-hmm.
thought about the money that I spent on those clothes, charging on my credit card, still paying the credit card
mm-hmm.
balance. And I looked at that, and one year I said, that's it. The next year I told them, no, we're not going to buy for each other's children. We're just going to have Christmas dinner. and we buy for our immediate family. Because I'm not going to get into debt. I realize I'm still paying March, April on a card, just getting it paid down barely, or off to charge for the next year. When I stop that foolishness, I'm probably about 18, 19 years old, maybe around 20 when I stop. Because I was like, this is ridiculous. And that's when I realized, no, this is the tradition we had. My mother would buy everybody something. Everybody had to have something. And I said, I'm not going to fall into that pattern, that footstep. Because even right now, with my daughter, she said, just yesterday, I told my kids, don't buy me no clothes. I told everybody, my husband, don't buy me no clothes. I don't want no more clothes. I got plenty of clothes. I need to give away some clothes. I said, isn't that a blessing to say something like that? She said, yeah, because I remember the time I didn't have none. She said, so I'm cleaning my closet out, and I'm giving these clothes away. I don't need no more clothes. I'm tired of looking at them. And I thought, wow, what a blessing. So now I don't have to do that. But the one thing that I heard her say all year long, and she and I both had preached this sermon, we have no earrings. It's like, I don't know where my earrings went to. I can't find my pearls. You know, I need new pearls. And I told them, I said, you know what? If y'all want to get me something, then get me some earrings. That's all I need, because I can't find earrings. Get me some earrings, get me a string of pearls if you want. And they, for my birthday, they know I like to have bath stuff. So I asked, get me the candles. The candles they got for me last year, I loved them. I said, can you go back and get me one of those candles? It's not about the gift. It's about meeting a need. If you want to do something, then do that. The candle's about, what, $4 or $5? But I like the candle. It lasts me all year. So to me, we're going to go in there, have breakfast, praise the Lord, enjoy ourselves, and it doesn't matter. We're going to play games. We got game night. And we're just going to enjoy, talk about the Lord, and play some games, eat some food, and celebrate. Even if it's not, people say, well, you know, you can't guarantee this is Christ's birthday. Well, maybe you can't, but it's okay, because every day you can celebrate Christ. And so we're going to just celebrate Christ that day, just like we celebrate Christ every day, except for we are exchanging gifts. So I don't get too tied up in it, but it is.
And you know, I'm sorry. And you know, the gift thing is appropriate because they bought Jesus gifts. They bought him three gifts. And so the gift thing is not out of order because it's appropriate. That was the tradition. When Christ was born, they bought him gifts. But like you said, it's not until you get caught up in all the gift giving and commercialize it that makes that really takes the beauty of the gifting away. So it's more like meeting a need.
It's traditional. But the thing that I have a problem with, just me personally, when people try to compete in the gift giving or trying to trying to hurt somebody else's feelings, trying to buy something to make the other person look bad, then see the intent of the gift has no value.
Right.
You know, because God's not going to give you a reward or think of your gift just like with Cain and Abel. You know, he killed his brother because he was what? Jealous, envious, because God received his gift because he gave his gift with the intent from his heart. And so now throughout the duration of time, people just get, I see people stop speaking because of Christmas gift. I'm like, really?
Right.
Or a birthday gift, or, you know, some craziness. It just don't make no sense. Just like, I remember, you know, last year when Jared was having a difficult time, and we told him, don't try to even buy any gifts. You know, he bought a gift for his mom. I said, don't buy me no gift because I don't really need anything. You don't have to buy me a gift if you buy me a gift. You can write me a card and say, Nana, I love you. But you do that all the time. So I don't need you to do anything special for me. Don't worry about buying me anything. And then when he bought me that candle, I was like, that was ultimate because he knew that was something that I love. It didn't have to be $50 or $100 or $200. You know what I mean? He didn't have it.
Right. Right. Well, it's definitely got to be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying this year he was saying, Nene, I'm, you know, once I, you know, because I told him about changing his spending habits and how to rearrange his money. He said, you know, this has been the best year of my life. I'm on target with my bills and my savings and this, that, and the other. But I still told him, just buy me the candles that you bought me last year. Because, I mean, I really like those candles. I was going to go buy them. But I said, why should I go buy them? There's just one just ran out this week. Why should I go buy them? And, you know, I let them buy that. That would be a good little gift for them, you know, because they know I like bath stuff and candles. And it's always been tradition ever since I was, 20, 30 years ago. That's what I got on my birthday from the family. That would be a part of my gift. So anyway, long story short is we want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Audience, have a happy one, but just know that you want to operate out of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Start with love, and don't be offended if somebody don't give you something. Don't be offended if it's not what you expected it to be. Just know that the person is doing the very best they can, because in reality, nobody has to give you anything. They don't have to give you a gift. Nobody owes you that. So I just want to say Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you, I know, before the New Year's. And then I, too, have a birthday on the 26th of this month. Five more days. And praise the Lord if I make it. I might move up to 28. We'll see. I'm 27 and a half. Now, I might move up half a notch. Anyway, Cynthia, you want to say something to the audience for Christmas? And then we have.
Well, yes, I just wanted to give credit to that statement that I made about the Jesus never has a zero balance. Kenneth Hagin, who died in 2003, left us that little quote, that gift. And so he gave the ultimate gift when he continued to, he left behind a legacy of Christ. So I just wanted to give him credit for that quote. And Merry Christmas, guys. Happy birthday, Dr. Fletcher. I know I'll be talking to you before your birthday, but I'm just going to give you the first shout-out for your birthday on the 26th. How amazing is it to have a birthday that follows Christ? You are special. You are special. And I like to say happy conceived day for my kitty, because he was conceived on Christmas Eve. And so he's that's my special boy as well. You know, he's my baby boy. That's who I'm going to see. And I'm just so happy to be part of a tradition where we do brunch, and that we just want to love on each other and call it a day and love on Jesus.
And don't,
call
and
it
don't
a day.
Forget my other boy. That's my boy.
Oh well, you know my Brian. You know I'm gonna talk to him. He already said that he's going to Skype us in, and so he's gonna be part of our brunch too. He's gonna be right there with us. Like you said, technology let us be right there where we need to be when we need to be, when we can't be there physically. So he already said he's Skyping in for the brunch, and I'm gonna see my baby boy as well, and my other baby Chadley and his family gonna be there. So we all just going to love on each other in one little tight space, and that's what I'm talking about. It's the intimacy of it that's going to make it so very special.
All righty, yes. Then.
And so,
for that,
yeah,
I'll
my
baby's
right calling in. Yes.
Hello.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye, audience. Love you, Dr. B. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.